Imagine walking into a heavily armed police station and just trying to tell stressed out officers how to do their jobs. I mean, it sounds like a guaranteed way to get thrown out.
Oh yeah, or arrested.
Well,
But, you know, bridging that massive gap between heavily structured law enforcement and, well, chaotic, diverse neighborhoods is exactly the mission of the document we're unpacking on today's deep dive.
right. So we are looking at the Western Capes Community Police Forum, or CPF, introductory handbook. And I have to tell you, this isn't just some dry bureaucratic manual you skim and toss in a drawer.
Not at all. It's actually a really fascinating, highly practical blueprint for building trust, managing egos, and just getting things done on the ground.
Yeah, and the absolute hardest rule in the book is that CPF members are strictly civilians, right? They act more like cultural translators. They have to speak both police and neighborhood, and they are explicitly forbidden from ever introducing themselves as police officers.
Yes, they draw that line in permanent ink because blurring it is just so dangerous. I mean, a civilian acting like a cop doesn't have the authority or the protection of the state.
Wait, so it's mainly a liability issue?
Massive legal liability. Plus, it ruins whatever fragile community trust actually exists. And honestly, it puts the CPF member in immediate physical danger. They don't have a badge, so they have to rely entirely on influence.
Like that Ocean View example, right? Where the CPF members wanted to steer local youth away from crime.
Exactly. Instead of walking in and making threats or, you know, acting like a strike force, they organized local sports programs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they created an appealing alternative using positive influence rather than coercion.
So if they don't have actual police power, how do they operate in these high-stakes environments? Because the handbook talks a lot about strict protocol, like addressing officers by their exact rank.
Right, it's about the strategic use of respect and patience.
Yeah.
They're instructed to persistently greet station staff and say things like, "Good morning, Colonel Kumalo."
Okay, but let me push back on that just a bit. Does saying "Good morning, Colonel" actually move the needle on community safety? Honestly, it feels like a superficial courtesy when you're dealing with, high-stakes crime.
It sounds like it, sure. But you have to remember, police operate in a highly structured, hierarchical, and often very defensive environment.
Oh, so they have their guard up constantly.
Exactly. When a civilian walks in and willfully respects that hierarchy, it signals a basic respect for their world. It lowers those entrenched defenses over time.
Sure, the officers might like you better, but how does station etiquette translate to the streets? I mean, a gang member doesn't care if the CPF respects the colonel.
Well, no, station etiquette doesn't stop crime directly, but it buys you a seat at the table. You need that foundational trust because the ultimate goal of the CPF is to co-create massive initiatives.
Ah, like the 5-year community safety plan.
Right. The police are simply not going to share sensitive data or commit resources to a 5-year strategy with someone they view as a hostile outsider.
Okay, that totally makes sense. But once you actually win over the police, your next obstacle is arguably much harder. You have to corral the chaotic energy of the neighborhood to draft that plan.
Yeah, and that leads to the handbook's breakdown of community personality types, which is just fascinating.
It really is. It sounds like assembling a specialized heist crew, where every community member brings a totally unique but necessary trait to the table.
That is a great way to look at it. Effective CPFs lean into these distinct traits rather than fighting them. True safety requires all those diverse perspectives.
Like the strategist. In Grassy Park, a strategist used crime data to pinpoint car theft hotspots and actually drove the numbers down.
Yes, doing the deep analytical work.
Yeah.
But then you also have the activist. The handbook highlights an activist in the Central Karoo who was just relentless.
Right, very confrontational, pushing SAPS until they finally form those critical anti-gang forums. But having both of those in a room must cause friction.
Oh, definitely. The challenge for the CPF is managing that inevitable friction. The activist creates the necessary heat to force uncomfortable changes. But you also need the harmonizer.
To soothe bruised egos after a heated meeting.
Exactly. To ensure everyone actually returns to the table the next day, the handbook teaches members to channel these specific energies toward the safety plan instead of trying to change who people are.
So we started by looking at a policing manual, but it turns out this is really a masterclass in emotional intelligence and grassroots stakeholder management.
It really is. Success here isn't about having the most authority. It's about knowing your audience, checking your ego, and engineering collaboration out of pure conflict.
Which is a huge takeaway. Think about what that implies for your own life. We often assume that true safety requires more force, more arrests, and more authoritative power.
But if a handbook like this is effective, it suggests we might fundamentally misunderstand where power actually lies.
Exactly. Perhaps the most effective weapon against crime isn't a badge or a gun, but civilian emotional intelligence, deliberate patience, and a deep understanding of bureaucratic protocol. So if a crisis hit your neighborhood or workplace today, look at those personality types.
Yeah, which one are you?
Right. Which role, the harmonizer, the skeptic, the assertive leader, or the connector, would you naturally default to? And more importantly, is that what your community actually needs? Something to think about.